forgiveness. Wow. It is one of the critical elements in a marriage.
And we've been married almost 50 years now.
Amen.
How many times do you think we've had to forgive each
Let's
other?
See, Scripture says you're to forgive 7 times 70 or 70 times 7.
And we've way exceeded that.
I think it's been 7 times 70 times 700. Oh, something like that. And without it, we wouldn't have survived these almost 50 years. And to flourish in a marriage like we have and will in the future, we need to continue understanding what forgiveness does for us in our heart and for each other.
The Power of Forgiveness, Part 1.
Hi, we are Jerry and Nancy Gardner. We've been married for 30 plus years. We have 4 children. We have 3 grandchildren. And we see the effects of working on this marriage, that it is worth it.
And today we are going to teach on the power of forgiveness, the miracle of forgiveness. We are grateful because we were those who were in desperate need of forgiveness. Unfortunately, our past include alcohol and recreational drugs, a life of promiscuity, and I even had an abortion. We weathered adultery and struggled with strife in our early years of marriage. It was a daily battle often. So we hurt each other with words, actions. But then it was about 24 years ago, we got in a Married for Life group and began the journey toward marital healing and fullness.
Amen.
And through it all of this past, God proved faithful. He really did. And it's forgiveness that provided us the key that unshackled our chains and our pain of the past. And not only did it just leave us there, He, Jesus, propelled us forward into a destiny together, and that we can be about others and helping other Amen. Couples along the way. So stay tuned.
The definition of forgiveness: to grant free pardon or remission of an offense or a debt, give up all claim.
For if you forgive people their trespasses, that is, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting go and giving up resentment, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, that is, their reckless and willful sins, leaving them, letting them go and giving up resentment, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses.
Wow. God truly has set the standard. When He forgives us, He forgets our sins. And that's what we need to learn to walk in.
Jesus has paid the full price. And it's the message of the cross. And that's where we go when we need our sins forgiven.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion.
The Word tells us He forgives all our sins, not some of our sins.
Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him and canceled that debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servants fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the men thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. When the master called the servant in, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servants just as I had mercy on you?" In anger, the master turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your hearts.
There's some really interesting and important points of the scripture. If you look at that master, what a wonderful man who was willing to forgive a servant of what? 10,000 talents, and that's equivalent to millions of dollars. And so he in turn goes out after being forgiven for so much and finds a fellow servant to say, "Hey, you owe me a few dollars," basically, is what it, 100 denarii come to. A few dollars. And it was beautiful that someone witnessed and said, "Whoa, this is not right." And then this wicked, unmerciful servant was thrown into jail. He was tortured. And not only him, it also affected his wife and children. Because that's what unforgiveness does. You can't just be the only one affected by it. God wants us to forgive because this is who he is. This is the heart of the Father. Sometimes, though, we choose not to forgive. And when we choose to hold on to unforgiveness, all that bottled up hatred, anger, resentment, it will affect us physically and even emotionally. When you considered him being tortured, that's what happens to us. We have our own jail where we ourselves are the cause, very often, not always, but the cause of physical pain, emotional illness, because we choose not to forgive. When we carry unforgiveness in our heart, we begin to sense a hindrance with our relationship to God.
Amen.
This is key. God meant us to be in full relationship with him, but unforgiveness prevents that divine relationship.
God forgives all our sin, so we need to forgive all who sin against us.
Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. So this is where you've been the offender and hurt someone. It's so important to get that dealt with before you attempt to move on in your Christian life.
I had that opportunity. I had gone out of town. We were about 4 years into our marriage, and I had gone out of town working, and I had an affair, and I repented to God, but I never confessed it to Nancy. In spite of all of our past, I truly wanted God to use us. And I knew that I needed to confess so that Nancy could, that I could ask for forgiveness and Nancy could release me in, you know, saying, "I forgive you." And I did.
It wasn't easy, though. I didn't feel like forgiving. We do know that forgiveness is an act of our will. It's a decision. But we had been through Married for Life, and I knew that the heart of the Father was there is nothing that is unforgivable. And when we choose, he comes in and he allows healing to take place. I had wondered if it happened when he, you know, 4 years prior, if he was being unfaithful. But then I wasn't sure. Standing in the living room, I go, "Oh, I don't know if I can forgive him, Lord. I can't do this." And I kept saying, I can't. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "You can, and let me do the rest." So I knew again I had a choice. And the choice was, I wanted to be in the will of the Father. And I said, I forgive you. But that didn't mean we were totally healed. And we'll share more about that as we go on.
And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins.
So it makes it clear, either way, we are to initiate forgiveness. Sometimes, though, we blame the others. Proverbs 28:13 says, it tells us that if we will not prosper if we conceal our sins. So it's not the fault of the other person we refuse to forgive.
When we don't feel like forgiving, we need to remember it's a decision.
Luke 6:37 says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven.
If God can totally forgive us, why do we have so much trouble forgiving others? Take a few minutes now and discuss why you think that is. The Power of Forgiveness, Part 2.
Our Father wants us to learn how to forgive and to learn to release all claim when we're wounded.
We judge others by their actions, but we judge ourselves by our intentions. We want judgment for others, but we want mercy for ourselves. We will be judged by the same judgment that we use.
And we need to examine our own hearts. This is key in forgiveness. We need to examine our own hearts.
Jesus said, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?
I lived with a girl in the early 80s, and in that relationship, we had a son together. After about a year and a half, we split up. You know, I had first, third, and fifth weekend. And on the fifth weekend when I picked up my son, I found out that she hadn't been keeping him. She had put him in a respite home, which is like foster care. I picked up an offense. And that offense, I got angry and bitter, and I did not want to hear her name. And it wasn't till some years later that we were able to start to pray for her and release her from that.
And forgive her.
Forgive her, thank you.
And ask for forgiveness where we took up the offense, because that's what happened. I did the same thing. It was a really a difficult time, because it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair what she did to Jerry or what she did to Justin, and especially Justin, because he was the victim. But we knew, again, this was God's heart. We were reading it in His Word. We were reading it again and again, and it was a choice. And when we had meals together, we would share her name. We would encourage and let Justin see that we wanted to bless his mom.
That's
we
good.
Didn't want to tear her down or become more bitter or vindictive. And that was very important. I think it's so important for a family to lift up and to build up and to have our children allow them to see us, our hurt, and how we process that, especially with this miracle of forgiveness.
If we continue in unforgiveness and judgment, the next step is bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 tells us, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no root of bitterness grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
So bitterness defiles many.
Oh, it does.
You might walk in a room and you see a really unhappy, negative person, and you don't want to be around that. You're not drawn to that. And that's what will happen with our family. One time when we were with Justin, his beautiful bride, Hannah, he is a grown man now and has two children. And we were out over at the house, and the children were in bed, and he came out and he said he really feels like he's got to protect his family from his mom because of manipulation. And we were able to share with Justin that what you really need to protect your family from is bringing bitterness here and unforgiveness. He fell down on his knees and leaned over on the ottoman and prayed a prayer. He saw it, and it was an example of what happens when we as family come together and encourage each other forward and onward. Forgiveness is just powerful. We don't have to wait until those who offended us repent.
Luke 23:34. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing."
He was being crucified. He chose to forgive before anyone repented. And then we have Acts 7:60. I'm going to read 59 and 60. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and he cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them."
We need to be willing to forgive before the offender repents.
Romans 2:4 tells us that God's kindness leads us toward repentance. Our daughter left home when she was 18. Our first two children had a lot of rules and law when we were raising them. I had demonstrated fear-based parenting because I didn't want my daughter to go through the lifestyle I chose. She couldn't wait to leave home, and she did when she was 18. And it was a really hard time. It was a dark time. We chose to forgive her, though. She would come over on holidays. We loved her. We didn't compromise on what we believed, and we chose to demonstrate truth, and we didn't harp on her. She knew where we stood. We knew that the lifestyle of the world is devastating. Through these years, it was beautiful to hear Jerry saying, "Nan, she's going to come down. She's going to come home. I'm watching down the driveway," just like the prodigal father. And sure enough, one day I was at work. I remember it so clearly. I'm sitting at my desk, and I get a text, and Kelly goes, "Mom, I saved up some money. I want to know if Kenna, or McKenna, that's our granddaughter, and myself could come home." So she had a baby born out of wedlock. And I was so excited because we knew God was moving. We have to release our children and trust Him and press in through prayer. And sure enough, she came home, and she's with us today. She lives in a separate quarters, but she lives. She's home with her daughter. And when we were going to share this, I said, "Kelly, what do you think we want to share? We're sharing on forgiveness." She goes, "Oh, Mom." It was something that allowed us to get to where her and her daughter are today. And she blessed us in this. Family's a journey to forever. Forgiveness is key for life. How many times do we need to forgive? What if the person keeps doing the same thing over and over? I had fits of rage in our early marriage, and I'd slam doors. I'd get mad. When I would get hurt, I wouldn't cry. Anger would surface, and maybe not just once or twice, but several times.
Matthew 18. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he has sinned against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.
How about the time when you said you were going to make sure that Texas tag toll was paid, and it was like $4, and we sold the car, and I said, "Just pay it." And he said, "No, it's a principal. I'm not going to pay it." And I said, "Just pay it." Well, a few months later, we found that they were charging us $80 a month for 3 months, and I was frustrated. But little things have to be forgiven. Amen. Again and again. It's a way of life. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Love keeps no records of wrongs."
Say that again.
Love keeps no records of wrongs. 1 Peter 4:8 tells us that love covers a multitude of sin. Love covers sin. Jesus told us in Luke 4:47 that where there has been much forgiven, there is much love. And I want to share a little bit about our early years when we first got into Married for Life. We learned how to do a strife break. You heard that in the last lesson. Well, the first few lessons we got in and we go, whoa, you know, there was covenant. And then we went through, we went to week four. Every lesson was just so powerful for us. And week four taught the strike break. And I thought, well, it says you got to pray, you know, for 3 minutes in the spirit. It's kind of, doesn't sound too spiritual, but you know, we're going to try it. We're going to try because we were gleaning so much.
Something.
And we both had our prayer language. So we thought, well, we're going to start praying in the spirit together. And what we had to do up front is say, if you call the strife break, the other one has to honor it. We have to stop the strife. And sure enough, we did it. And what happened was we couldn't deny the fruit because it would lead us to forgiveness,
repentance.
Forgiving each other, repentance. Repentance always came first. Yeah. We start praying and I began to see, after we prayed in the spirit, I would begin to see my ugly, critical nature. And thereafter, asked Jerry, forgive me for those words I said again.
God would show us our own hearts and our own wrong, whether it was an attitude or a word that was spoken over. And we took ownership of it and we asked for forgiveness. And we saw life in our marriage. Thank you, Lord,
and we
for that tool.
And we couldn't deny the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
We test it and we see it. And Jerry, we got past those bitterness, that bitterness and the wall of unforgiveness that would have been built up. Glory to God.
Amen. So once we've forgiven our spouse and they do the same thing over and over again, what do? We keep forgiving.
There should be no limit to how many times we forgive because there is no limit to how many times God forgives us.
This scripture was a real helped set me free. It's Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sin no more. I figured if it's good for God to remove that and not remember it, man, it's really good for me.
I did want to touch on the fact too that, again, forgiveness is an act of our will. And when Jerry shared the adultery, I chose to forgive him, but we had healing that had to come after that. And I would hold it against him. We would have another fight and I'd bring up the adultery and I'd throw it in his face. We continued this for a few months. And what was remarkable was after this one pretty heavy duty argument, I get in the van and I'm going to drive off because I'm mad again. You know, that anger, that fit of rage occurred. And I'm driving not very far from home and I stopped. And I thought, wow, Lord, I didn't hold it against him this time. I didn't bring it up. And the Holy Spirit said, that's what I mean by forgiving and forgetting. I won't forget to the fact that it happened because we share this to bring couples hope. That Jesus is enough, that he gets our hearts and he can forgive the ultimate betrayal of a marriage, which is adultery. And I thought, wow, I sense the healing, that it really is enough. I knew it from the word, my group leader, my awesome Christian friends, they would tell me, Jesus is enough. And when you see it happen, that impartation, that experiential moment, I thanked him. And I heard him say, you can go back and love your husband. You can go home and love him. And that was really key for me. And it again speaks to the beauty of our Heavenly Father.
Is there anything you have not been able to forgive? If so, has what you have heard today helped you understand why you need to forgive and how to do it? Take a few minutes now and share with each other what is on your heart. The Power of Forgiveness, Part 3.
We do want to also talk about forgiving yourself. Often we have trouble forgiving ourselves. We find that it's easier to release others. Yeah. And I could see this in my own situation. I shared that I had an abortion in college. I had a very strong authoritarian father and a distant mother. Kind of felt I got lost in the shuffle. I learned to perform for value. I wanted to accomplish because if I did good, then I felt like I was enough. I was adequate. But I was hurt and wounded. I didn't realize it at the time. I found alcohol, I found recreational drugs, and my addiction was food. I struggled with bulimia for 8 years. And I lost my virginity in high school to Jerry. We went together for a couple years, went our separate ways for eight. Lived very much in the world, drug, sex, rock and roll. And then I became pregnant in college. And I was lost in my own darkness, of my own identity crisis. And I didn't even consider to have my baby. It would interfere with my career as a nurse. And even more, I couldn't imagine telling my dad, especially, and my mom, and let them see who I really was. And then 2 years later, when I surrendered my life to Jesus, out of desperation,
come on,
he forgave me. And I received absolute forgiveness. And I was even immediately delivered from the desire to binge and purge. And I was binging and purging daily at times. But when Jesus came and the desire again to binge and purge was gone, I knew that God was real. I knew God was real all my life, but I never had a relationship. I never knew that Jesus who was hanging on the cross was someone who was desperate to know us, to deliver us and save us from hopelessness in a world of darkness. So dark, I allowed my daughter to die. And what happened was, I knew something wasn't right and complete. When I had our first daughter together, Callie was born, I felt like I wasn't worthy to be her mother. I didn't deserve her. And weeks that followed, I would wake up in the middle of the night and I would find myself in our little living room on our couch and crying and knowing that there was so much regret still to having aborted my daughter. After several nights of getting up, that if you don't forgive yourself, it's like putting yourself above Jesus, who forgives all of our sins. And I knew I didn't want to attempt to be higher than Jesus. So I was able to apply the forgiveness to myself and be free. And there's days even since I consider Tess being fathered by my Heavenly Father. He's good, and he's delighting in her and taking care of her. And then just recently on a bike ride, I'm talking to my Lord, talking to Jesus, who rides with me. And I said, thank you. And not only did I consider how much my Father is tending to my daughter in heaven, but he was showing me how much he delighted in me and that my work on earth wasn't complete yet.
That's right.
And that Tess is we named her Tess. It's a long story of healing. Is very much a live part of our ministry today. And that's how our God redeems us. His forgiveness is complete.
I too had to struggle with forgiveness of self. When I confessed the adultery to Nancy, it was, and then we'd go back and we'd share our testimony with others, and oh man, and just that hurt. And it's like the shame, and I had to forgive myself. I had to receive Jesus' full forgiveness for me. I received it, and I got rid of that shame. And a way that a one flesh can walk through this, the way Nancy and I walked through the abortion, took Nancy out one night, and we had a meal, and we got back into the car to go home, and I just stopped. I grabbed her hand. I said, Nan, I want to adopt Tess in the spirit. I want to be there with you. If you're hurting, I want to hurt with you. If you've got feelings, I want to hear them and feel them also. And that's how a one flesh team wraps itself around a situation to where we are strong together.
And stronger.
Together.
And you are a beautiful father.
And I will see Tess in heaven.
And can we consider a moment? I'm recalling these times of brokenness before our Lord together. It's beautiful to walk together with your spouse in that depth of healing. And there's so many of us that don't understand that we even need to be healed. And we think that doesn't matter, but it does. And our children have seen this, and our children know it, even to the point where our son in high school came up and said, "Mom and Dad, we need to talk to you. You've been so honest with us." And he was struggling with pornography. And we came into our room that night and he shared it. And inside, I was thanking Jesus for his faithfulness, because I knew that we can't help our children if they don't share it. But now we can battle this together. See, that it's not perfection that we're after. It isn't. It's relationship. And a willingness to live the world, not just hear another message on forgiveness. Oh my, as Christians we hear so many. But it's taking it and it's applying the gospel here. With my husband, he is a man's man. I love this guy. I'm crazy about him after all these years. But he found it at a place to be vulnerable. And that makes him more attractive, honey.
Thank you.
I'm crazy about you.
You're awesome. All right.
Glory.
Taking up someone else's offense. If someone offends our spouse or our children, what do? Those feelings rise up in us and boy, we want action to happen. Proverbs 26:17 talks about if you pick a dog up by both ears, you picked up the offense, but now what are you going to do? Whatever you do, you're probably going to get bit. If Nancy comes home and somebody has hurt her at work, if I pick that offense up, I make it bigger than what it really is. But if I can respond in empathy, not sympathy, not feeling sorry for your spouse, but understanding that hurt, and I want to be a willing party to help you walk through that hurt and that you get set free.
Amen.
Forgiveness isn't a one-time event. It is a lifelong series of choices.
Ephesians 2:14 through 16 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility." Now, this scripture does refer to the Jews and the Gentiles, but we can consider it as applied to husband and wife, destroying that dividing wall of hostility. We were created to be one, not two.
Amen.
The man leaves his father and mother and is joined together with his wife so that they can become one. If we hold on to bitterness, forgiveness, even disappointments, I was so filled with disappointments, little disappointments, and they built up, and then they come out, right? Those are signs that we have unforgiveness. And what happens is this wall is built up between us. So we can become one. Do you like to be one with me, honey? How much?
A lot.
A lot. We get to minister together because we could do it apart. If we were both like me, we probably
kill each other.
If we were both like you, we wouldn't get anything done.
Man, we'd have a good time.
But anyway, we love the one flesh opportunity. Amen. It's something we never dreamed of being involved in. That is ministering together, because exponential is happening. Exponential power.
Amen.
It's the Spirit's power that we can do this together.
Some words of encouragement from Mike and Marilyn. As we were preparing this, God spoke to us that there are some who feel there is nothing to forgive, nothing between the two. He has told us that you will recognize the word disappointment. There has been much disappointment between the two of you, and you need to forgive and set each other free in this area. This applies also to the area in which children have disappointed you.
For others, he said the hurt is so deep and so enormous that it's going to be a slow, step-by-step healing. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. The Lord is going before you and is making a way for you. The healing is coming. Don't ever stop believing. Do not be overwhelmed or dismayed. You cannot imagine. You cannot imagine the joyful love that awaits you too. It has been preserved in the Father's heart all these years just for the appointed time. Soon, you will begin to glimpse its beginning.
And then there are some who cannot look beneath the surface. On the surface, all is calm. And you fear that if you look any deeper, things may not be all that you want them to be. The Lord would have you know that there is more, much more. But you must take that first step of faith and trust that the glory to come will surpass this present beauty.
Did any of these three situations relate to you as a couple? If so, take a few minutes now to share what you are thinking. If not, share together something that spoke to you today.
Sometimes people say, well, why do you have to go there? Why do you have to share about the abortion or the bulimia or the promiscuity and the adultery? Because if I want you to know my Jesus, then we're going to tell you what he's done in our lives. Take the hurt to the cross. Take the pain to the cross. Don't just let the gospel be a word. Let the life of your marriage and family demonstrate the power of it.
Bless the one you are forgiving. Matthew 5:44 says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Take that first step. Be obedient. This is so worth it. To God's forgiven us. How can we hold unforgiveness against our spouse? Let this relationship be a cup, a saucer that as God pours into it and as we choose his ways and his thoughts, that our cup starts overflowing and it overflows onto our children, and they learn these principles, and these principles become our principles. And we start affecting our neighborhood, our community, our cities, our states. It starts right here.
Dear Father, how can we thank you for your amazing heart of forgiveness? We desire and choose to forgive each other and release all hurts to you and receive your loving healing.
We choose to forgive ourselves and to receive your love and restoration for both our hearts. Please cleanse us and cover us with your tender love and new life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go to The Power of Faith, Part 1.